Good morning for Bill Lynch. This is Frank Setapani with the CBS World News Roundup. Police in Pacific Palisades say last night's gunshot death of actor Carol O'Connor's son Hugh was more than likely a suicide. Police went to the son's home after he called O'Connor and said he was going to shoot himself.
He was terribly troubled. Got into the whole drug thing when he was about 16. He died today on his third wedding anniversary. He was 32. Good looking, straightforward, good sense of humor. Had that monkey on his back and he couldn't get rid of it.
O'Connor says he knows the dealer who supplied his son with cocaine and morphine.
He used to make deliveries to my son in this neighborhood. And he's as responsible for Hugh's death as anybody on earth. And I'm responsible myself.
The way to prevent every parent's nightmare from striking other families, O'Connor says, could be a simple but radical solution.
I'm not so sure we shouldn't legalize the damn stuff. Legalizing drugs isn't going to make you and I and the rest of us run out and buy them. It's just going to put the crooks and criminals and the killers out of business.
Police in Provincetown, Massachusetts, have charged two men with supplying the heroin that led to last year's death of Nicholas Curtis, the son of actor Tony Curtis. A third suspect is still being sought. The Simpson murder jury is hearing from another important prosecution witness. David Dow has that.
Defense attorney Johnny Cochran today will try again to shoot holes in the testimony of Alan Park, the young limousine driver who's handed prosecutors some major ammunition against O.J. Simpson. At best, Cochran so far has been able to underline what Park did not see when he took Simpson to the airport an hour after the murders Simpson is accused of.
He didn't see blood on the limo. He didn't see a cut on Simpson's hand. But Cochran has not made a single dent in Park's basic story, and Park makes some very important points for the prosecution.
Among those points, notes CBS News legal consultant Victor Gold, that Simpson responded on a gate intercom system only after repeated calls, and only after an African-American of his height and weight was seen striding into his home about 40 minutes after the alleged time of the murders. And the car alleged to have been the getaway vehicle was not there when he arrived. Prosecutor Marcia Clark elicited that point.
You see that white Bronco in this photograph, sir?
Yes.
Was that white Bronco there at the time you drove by at about 10:22?
I didn't see it.
And you were looking at that curb, were you not?
Yes.
This afternoon, attorneys will wage yet another battle over what DNA evidence prosecutors may use against Simpson. David Au, CBS News, Los Angeles.
In Santa Ana, Los Angeles Rams cornerback Darrell Henley, his uncle, and three other men have been convicted of running a cocaine ring. Henley faces at least 10 years in prison with a possible life sentence. The first Western reporter allowed to see two Americans imprisoned in Baghdad for crossing the border with Kuwait describes the men as in good health, but downcast, hollow-eyed, tired, and in a complete state of uncertainty. CNN's Brent Sadler was allowed to visit David Daliberti and Bill Barloon in the company of Polish diplomats. Sandler says Daliberti was so stressed by what happened, he suffered a heart seizure, and it took Barloon a couple of hours to get help. Just days before the U.S. is scheduled to hand the United Nations responsibility for security in Haiti, President Aristide is calling for stepped-up efforts against the gunmen he calls opponents of democracy. As Aristide spoke, assassins were busy gunning down lawyer and leading Aristide critic Marais du Rocher-Bertin. FBI agents have been sent to Port-au-Prince to investigate. U.S. Embassy spokesman Stanley Schrager is worried about what the killing and other violence implies for elections scheduled in June.
It is our hope that the United Nations mission and the peacekeeping force of the U.N. can keep a lid on it, keep the violence down to minimal levels so these elections can take place in a reasonably free and fair atmosphere, and that the results can be accepted not only by the international community, but also by the Haitian people.
The White House says the assassination will not keep President Clinton from visiting Haiti as scheduled for Friday's changing of the guard ceremonies. A human rights group report due for release today faults the U.S. for creating a new Haitian police force of former soldiers unlikely to uphold democratic values. According to the New York Times, Congressman Robert Torricelli has told the National Security Agency to safeguard records that might shed light on what U.S. officials knew about the murders of an American innkeeper and a Guatemalan rebel leader. Torricelli reportedly got a tip that the NSA had information that CIA and Army officials were aware of the circumstances involved in the killings. The threat of ethnic bloodshed has forced the United States and other governments to evacuate many of their citizens from Burundi. Ambassador Bob Kruger sent his wife and children home today.
given the circumstances here, it's the prudent thing to do at this time. We very much hope that the circumstances will turn around and improve quickly. I have by no means given up my confidence that Burundi can have a strong democracy.
In Paris, the French Foreign Ministry says it supports existing UN sanctions on Libya, but will not back new U.S. demands for an oil embargo. The White House wants to step up the pressure on Colonel Muammar Gaddafi to turn over two Libyans suspected in the Pan Am Flight 103 bombing that killed 270 people. He won't say yes, but Donald Fehr won't say no either to Major League Baseball's new contract proposal. The head of the striking players' union says only that he'll come up with a counteroffer sometime this week.
The series of suggestions we have received represents some movement by the clubs. I think it would be incorrect of me to suggest that we thought it was substantial.
Fehr says he assumes there's room for negotiation. With little suspense surrounding the outcome, the first vote ever taken by the House on term limits is scheduled for this evening. Rob Armstrong reports.
Term limits is the least stable plank in the GOP contract with America. Republican Bill McCollum of Florida, a term limits leader, argues that the issue is clearly something that resonates with voters in their quest to clean up Congress.
It seems to me only logical, then, that the way that we can reform and the only way we can truly reform permanently Congress is to change the Constitution to make things balanced again, much like the founding fathers had originally thought it should be. And the best way and the only way to do that is to set term limits.
But opponents, such as Democrat Bill Richardson of New Mexico, say the amendment is simply unnecessary.
Term limits are a bad idea whose time has not come. We already have term limits. They're called elections every 2 years.
The debate will be heated and colorful, but in the end, it appears that this part of the GOP contract with America will fail to get the two-thirds majority needed to send it on to the Senate. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Clinton is attending an Emory University economic forum. In his opening remarks, he touted the administration's economic record and lamented the doubts that linger about the role of government in solving people's problems. The Michael Jordan Magic Show stopped at Madison Square Garden last night for a spectacular performance in Jordan's first unretirement game in New York.
I guess it took four games for me to really get my rhythm down.
Jordan scored 55 points as his Bulls beat the Knicks.
I could tell in the first quarter I really had something going.
Even New York coach Pat Riley had to admire Jordan's last-second pass that set up Chicago's winning bucket.
He got it started the other night against Atlanta. He just sort of building up to New York.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are ahead 13 and a half. It's 10 past.